ESPN.
Zidato and Kef for your afternoon right now on 710 ESPN.
It's time for what you need to know.
What you need to know.
Let's do it. What you need to know right now.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. We will get to the USC story once we're done uncovering this whole caper between Ireland and Travis. This, I don't know, what would we call it? A little dust-up? Dust-up? We'll call it a dust-up? We'll do that.
There was a very angry John Ireland. That's all I know.
Yeah. Lindsay, what do you got for what you need to know?
I got Funch with a what you need to know.
Oh, it's Funchy who's got it. Funchy. Yeah, okay, Funchy Bunch. Go ahead.
Today is May the 4th, Be With You Day. So it's basically Star Wars Day. So the Dodgers are having Star Wars night at the stadium. They're giving away R2-D2 beanies.
Arturito.
As they play the Dodgers, Dodgers play the Giants tonight. Also, Disneyland is having a Star Wars Day.
Of course. I mean, geez, yeah.
And it stays open till 1 o'clock in the morning
tonight.
Wow!
Tonight,
yeah,
really.
Usually it stays open to like 10 on most weeknights, but now it's you
can't. I had no idea that was the case.
I don't think you could dress up as a full Jedi.
Yeah.
For some reason.
He's right. Like adults can't wear full costumes.
Why not?
I don't know. Huh. Some kind of like safety.
I've seen a lot of people in costume at Disneyland.
The interpretation of costume is different.
Wait a second. You show up in a jersey of your favorite ball player.
Right.
Is that a costume?
You can't wear like a full, you're not allowed to wear masks. Yeah. You can't have like a full-on robe. Like,
oh,
like I can't show up as a Chewbacca.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
right.
Now that I can understand. Like, I don't need somebody
You can have like an outfit resembling Chewbacca, but it's not, you know, the costumes, I guess they frown upon.
Zidano, I love the Chewbacca sound.
Yes, pretty good.
I'm going to put that right up there with your bird sound effects. You know, we're really building something special here when we think about George's sound effects related to, like, wild animals or movie characters. And my whole air drum, air bass guitar band thing that I do. I mean, we got a lot of sound effects on this show that we create with our own.
Yeah. Man, you know what commercial just popped on right now?
Tell me.
It's the Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars show.
What are you watching?
The trailer,
I mean, it's a commercial just played on TNT. It's O'Shea Jackson Jr. is in that show, on that
really?
Show. Yeah.
That is so cool that he's on it.
It is pretty damn cool. I'd love to just be an extra in one of those Star Wars shows on Disney Plus.
I actually
should write that into
extra.
My next contract.
Yeah, I don't want to be an extra. I want to be a lead role kind of man.
No.
Yes.
No, see, this
what?
Is it.
What?
You know.
What?
I did a Mickey Mouse commercial once.
Really? How'd that go?
It was fun. I was there for like 7 hours, but Mickey did like, there was a new Mickey Mouse like cartoon show called Mickey's Roadster Racers.
Yeah, what'd you do?
And myself and Nicole Briscoe did the, we did a bunch of stuff in front of green screen because they wanted to make it seem, because it's a race, right? They wanted to make it seem like we were doing SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool.
That is cool. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you said tonight, Funchy, that at the Dodgers-Giants game, this is the Star Wars night. And what's the giveaway tonight, you said?
R2-D2 beanies.
R2-D2 beanies. Okay, so the top of the beanie makes your head look like the top of R2-D2,
yeah,
I assume?
Yeah, it does,
okay.
Yes.
And does it say how many fans in attendance get the beanie?
I'm pretty sure it's a first 10,000.
10,000, that's it?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Well, that's usually how it works at these things.
No, yeah, come on,
usually,
not 10,000.
No, they're small, and you have to buy, like, a special ticket for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this is, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, hold on. Here's the thing. Generally speaking, if you talk to baseball executives, the slowest night and the lowest attended night of a baseball game is, anybody have a guess or anybody know this?
The day after opening day.
Nope, that's not the case.
Okay.
I'm just talking about generally speaking. It's Tuesdays. Tuesday night baseball games are generally the least attended baseball games. Now, last night, this Dodgers-Giants game, because you and I talked about rivalries yesterday, do you want your rival to be good, et cetera.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised at the sparse crowd last night at Dodger Stadium. So I wonder if tonight, with everybody kind of rocking their Star Wars gear, and however many get the beanie, I wonder if tonight we're looking at like what you expect, which is a packed house for a series of an early season series of this magnitude.
Mm-hmm. I misspoke.
Yeah,
guys.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people.
40,000 tonight. First 40,000.
40,000. There you go. 40,000 sounds right.
Yeah.
First 40,000 getting the R2-D2.
How many seats does Dodger Stadium hold?
Like 53,
dang,
I want to
say. So basically, like, everybody's going to get one.
Except the 13,000
I think it's a little bigger
people.
Than that, if I recall
correctly.
Maybe it's
58.
That sounds more.
All right, we'll find
accurate.
Out the total attendance at Dodger Stadium. But
56,000.
All right, so that means 40,000 people are all getting the R2-D2 beanie, and 16,000 people are going to be walking around going, I got here late. The Uber didn't show up. By the time they got here, traffic. Come on, man, there's got to be.
Do you think Mason will have one of the R2-D2 beanies?
No, I think you really did have to buy, like, a special ticket for
him. No, dude, 40,000, first 40,000.
Yeah, 40,000 if you bought, like, the special ticket for it.
I'm going to guess. This is my guess.
Trust me and Greg looked into this. We are Star Wars fans.
I'm going to just take a guess. The first.
So you're going to say that Lindsay, who actually looked into it, is wrong, but your gut feeling
Greg
is right.
Greg texted somebody from the Dodgers about it.
My gut feeling
is. You get it if you bought the ticket.
Is that anybody who bought any ticket. Here's my guess.
Yeah.
That it's actually phrased this way. The first 40,000. Get this beanie, not the 40,000 that bought this very specific ticket. It's a guess. If you prove me wrong, Lindsay, guess what I'm capable of doing?
All I know is you'd have some kind of special thing.
I don't think so.
Special ticket. I'll have Greg call when he walks in and he could tell us.
I don't buy that.
Okay.
Special ticket. There's 40,000 special
tickets
and 16,000.
You're always getting into the logistics of everything,
right,
you know?
Because I want people to know. Hey,
well, I don't want people
40,
to be
000,
upset if it is
don't
one
worry
of these
about
situations
it.
Where they're like, oh, Kaplan
okay,
said
here we go.
Don't worry
about here we go. I got it. From the Dodgers website. Is this enough for you, Cap?
Yeah,
from the Dodgers website?
Go ahead.
Okay. The special event ticket package is sold out. This ticket package includes your ticket to the game and an exclusive Star Wars Night knit cap.
Okay.
May the 4th be with you. This special event ticket package must be purchased from this link or through a group sales representative to obtain the item.
Okay.
Third-party purchases will not include the item, and this is not a stadium-wide promotion.
Okay. Oh, see that? Now watch this, Lindsay. I stand corrected.
Thank you.
See, you're welcome. I'm just saying that normal circumstances, it's the first X number, get this promotional
package.
Yeah,
I wasn't trying to call you out. The only reason I brought it up was because I want one.
Yeah,
and
Greg,
I was just,
do you have the right ticket?
No.
You don't have the right
Mason
ticket.
Mason bought the ticket, so.
Mason didn't buy the right
ticket?
Yeah,
Mason didn't buy the right ticket.
Through group sales by clicking on the link?
I feel like some of these giveaways and the rules and stuff like that, like, who knows?
He's being cheap. He didn't want to buy the beanie.
Exactly.
Really, right. I wonder how much the beanie ticket was versus the non-beanie ticket.
Can we get to Ireland and Travis, though? Like, enough of this? Like, you know, honestly, like, I mean.
This is like a serious, like, he needed to investigate what was going on.
Jesus, I already told you what the damn website says.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You told us at the end. If you would have told us at the beginning, we would have moved.
Well, I was looking for it.
Well, Google it.
I did.
Well, faster.
I thought you'd listen to Lindsay, who said her and Greg literally talked to the Dodgers.
No, I didn't.
I think we've come to the conclusion that Cap just doesn't ever listen to
me. I do my own thing.
Okay.
All right. So Showtime Bernie here says there's a star on Twitter. Says there's a Star Wars themed bar on Hollywood between Cahuenga Navar. And that's just like the one in Disneyland. So it's like the cantina. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I was saying when I was at the cantina in Disney World, I said, if this was a real bar, I would totally go there and hang out. So now I'm going to have to go there.
He says that today will be crazy but most regular nights are pretty awesome. I host karaoke there on Thursdays.
Oh, even
he hosts
better.
Karaoke at this place?
Yeah, at the Star Wars bar in off of Cahuenga.
Can you do some Chewbacca karaoke?
Yeah.
That's Chewbacca singing Superman's theme song.
It
oh
is?
Oh my gosh.
Really? Wait, let me hear it again. Wow. It's a great Chewbacca. I don't hear Superman, but I do
mean,
hear
the theme
Chewbacca.
Song. Play that back. Really?
Yeah.
One more time.
And what theme is that?
Dun, 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 dun. Thank you. Dun, 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 dun. That's a different part of the song, but this is the beginning.
You don't have that beginning. You don't have the next part where
I don't know how to do that part of the song.
Come on,
I mean,
dude.
Geez.
Man, you're good. You're a good Chewbacca.
Can we get to I'll do more Chewbacca later. It's not like I can't just do it on command.
You do it. We got to take requests. If anybody wants to have Sedano do more Chewbacca, just let us know. We'll stop the show, and we will legitimately just do Chewbacca sounds. And you know what you should do is you should Chewbacca to lots of different songs.
Funchy, can you play what the hell Ireland said to Kaplan's making it seem like he wanted to reach across the table and choke Travis today. Can we hear what actually happened?
All right, here it is that you don't get that thank God – Jerry Buss got for years.
Mm-hmm.
Star-driven town, star-driven town, ooh, star-driven town, star-effing-driven town. You want to get rid of the star, and you have no plan
one of the
to
stars,
replace him.
One of
oh
the
my
stars,
God, I've never seen John Ireland's
one of
face
the stars
get so red.
Never
I
plays.
Off in the sun.
One of the stars you never played.
You look like steam was going to come out of your ears.
One of the stars.
This is the worst idea
ever. You scared me a little
no,
bit.
No, it's not. One of the stars doesn't play, and the other guy's going into year 20. I'm not saying don't find the next generation of stars.
I'm saying
these are the wrong guys. Having actors that were famous 20 years ago in a bad movie, is that a star vehicle?
Wait a minute, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, sure.
What's the difference?
You got to start screaming, Al.
Yeah.
You got to start banging on the desk.
Pound the table. Now, did I exaggerate?
Slight. I mean, you said he wanted to reach across the table, but I don't know if I'd go that far. But it was heated, more heated than I expected.
I mean, lots of table pounding. That is anger right there. That is, I need to take my frustration out on something physical. You know, maybe we need to hang a heavy bag here in the studio at 710, which is where I'm at right now, George. And a heavy bag would be good because at commercial breaks, I get a little workout in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Throw some hands at a heavy bag, not beat up on the table. This table will come down in 2 seconds. John Ireland, angry. Get out of the LeBron business. How dare you even suggest such a thing? Don't you know that I call the Laker games? I can't call garbage. If I'm going to call a bad game, at least let me have a big star. I hear you, John, and I feel you, man. You've made a very compelling case.
Well, look, I do think that's not like a small thing.
Which part?
The part of it. I mean, the star part of it matters.
It's a monster part of it. Listen, I think that anybody who really sincerely believes that the Lakers should get out of the LeBron business, you can make a case that he's going to be 38. You can make a case that he's 20 years into his career. You can make a case that 3 of the 4 years that he's been here haven't really been that great. That's fine. But what's the additional motivation? Is it you're offended by the notion that LeBron has so much power in the organization and that you're upset with him because all of the moves that he made just did not work and he overwhelmed the franchise? Is that why you want to get rid of LeBron? Is it take control of the franchise? Is that the motivation for the opinion?
I think that's what most people feel like. That's probably the place that they go initially.
Yeah, like, I want to get out of the LeBron business. Why? Because I don't like how much authority he has inside that franchise. Because if it wasn't for LeBron overwhelming the front office, they wouldn't have had Russ, and they would have had this guy, and this guy.
They also wouldn't have had a championship in 2020.
Okay, there you go. You got your one championship. So hasn't LeBron, can LeBron walk out of L.A. and say mission accomplished? You got one, right?
No, I don't think, I think he didn't expect to get one. I think he expected, especially with the Anthony Davis trade, I think he expected to get multiple.
All right. Well, a lot of people, George, now want to call the show and get in on this.
All right. Let's do it. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll get into that. I do want to get into how all of a sudden, when the big city schools are getting involved in NIL, everyone's crying foul and the NCAA is trying to do something about it. USC is at the center of it. We'll get to that on the other side as well. Stick around, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, the fact that I knew about this John Ireland pounding on the table, getting so angry at Travis earlier today.
It's because you're always listening on the app, on the new app.
It's like I said yesterday. I lodged a legitimate complaint yesterday that the app is so amazing that I'm now addicted. I can take it all day long. I don't have to get out of my car, turn off the radio, be done with the shows. I put the app in my pocket, put my AirPods in, and I'm still listening. This freaking app has got me completely addicted. You know, we're pretty good, actually. This station's good. I don't know if you guys didn't know that or not. Shows on this station are really good.
They are very good.
Yeah. Yes,
that's true. By the way, you could see this coming a mile away. Before I get to the calls that people want to chime in on this LeBron thing that Ireland and Travis and us were talking about. Sports Illustrated's and the Athletic's reporters have been, if you've been looking at some of their tweets, there's been a lot of tweets kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to be careful here.
I want to know. I don't know what you're looking for. Let me hear what you're looking for. Okay. Be blunt. Okay.
No, I want to be careful. I'm not trying to be blunt. Nah, I'm trying to be careful.
Be reckless.
Because I don't want to misconstrue what people are doing.
Oh.
But it feels like the Sports Illustrated and Athletic college football reporters in particular are, let's say, it feels like they're a little more miffed when USC and Miami, the two big schools in big cities, are taking advantage of NIL. And there's not as much lamenting when schools in the SEC are doing it, let's say. And meanwhile, those schools have been getting away with stuff for Lord knows how long, right? In the SEC and some of these other conferences, right? So I think that that's one of those things that I found very interesting over the last couple of weeks, where I'm like, they're really tweeting a lot about how USC and Miami are taking advantage and it feels unfair and it feels like the wild, wild west. You know, all these loaded phrases, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm like, no one said anything about some of these other schools that are using NIL, right? Why is it is it just because it's bigger news because it's two big-time programs and two big cities? And, you know, we like small-town colleges. Like, what is that? Like, what is going on there?
I actually think it's a lot of it's about money. In other words, this is the first time.
USC and because they're the number two market and the number 12 market in the country, it's what I told you. They could generate more cash in NIL for kids.
Right, but here's the thing. While that may be true, and it will all play out, here's the other thing. Will getting high-priced college football talent net you wins? This report from earlier in the week that USC was going to get this kid Jordan Addison, who was the Biletnikoff Award winner, the number one wide receiver in the country. The report was that he was coming to SC and he was going to be living in a $3 million house. And can you imagine a kid who's now like 20 years old in college football living in a $3 million house? Like, yo, dog, can we all come over and like hang out? It's like, no, man, that's my house. Don't even come over.
So anyway, now Sports Illustrated reports today that the NCAA is exploring ways to crack down on NIL deals and wanting to limit boosters' interactions on this. Now, let me ask you a question. What the hell did the NCAA think would happen here?
Well, I mean, seriously, like, wait a second. If you're Alabama and you're an Alabama football fan or an Alabama alum and you own a big company and you say, hey, guess what, coach? For that superstar quarterback that you're getting from Southern California.
Which they did.
Right.
Bryce Young. Right. They gave him $1 million.
Right. We will give him all kinds of stuff. So, listen.
And by the way, good for the kids. That's what this is about. It's good. You don't want to pay the kids when you're making billions of dollars off them. Well, this was the solution. And you decided to create this as an avenue without having any real parameters in place. And by the way, it just shows how toothless the NCAA is, because they're not going to be able to control any of this stuff, even if they do try to legislate it.
No, it's already over. It's already over. That could you imagine the state of California saying, hey, by the way, weed's no longer legal? Everybody's like, what are you talking about?
No, of course not. And
everywhere.
By the way,
it's over.
It's funny that you mentioned the state of California, because states like California and Florida and Texas and a lot of these other states where college football is big business, they were the ones to legislate name, image, likeness, right? And say, screw the NCAA, it's okay to do it in our state. And that's when the NCAA realized, oh my God, we've lost all the power. The states are ruling against us in their legislation. So they're going to get the kids what they want. We got to make this an equal playing field, so we got to do it for everybody. They were literally strong-armed into it because the states like California, Texas, and Florida were first to bite at this. And the NCAA, again, they're just such a toothless organization. And good luck trying to police it. And I hope they never try to get to police it, because the kids have been getting screwed for too damn long anyway.
I just wonder what's going to happen. And I'm this is me, college football, geeking out on this kind of stuff. If you are SC and you can get the best of the best in the transfer portal, and the reason you can get them is not because you're SC and the history and the tradition and the crowds and TV opportunities and future NFL opportunities, the reason you can get the best skill players is because you can pay them the most. I wonder if that will ultimately equal wins. Because
so do you? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Without naming schools or conferences or names.
Yeah.
Do you believe that over the last 40 or years, 50s, whatever you want to say, go back 30, 40 years, for the most part, don't you think the schools that have won the most championships are probably the schools that are creating benefits for players, that were creating benefits for players under the table?
Yeah, for the most part, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, at least I'd rather it be above board. You know what I mean? So nothing is really changing.
I know, but well.
Except it's above board.
Yeah, but, hold on. What happens if, you know, there's just like four or five or six guys on a team and they're all making bank and everybody else is just kind of living it the old school way?
Well, no, that's not true, because a lot of these schools, what they're getting deals for all the kids that in is, some way, shape, or form, even if it's like $1,000 or something, or $500 a month. A lot of these big-time Power 5 programs are getting their kids, all their kids, at least something. And then the big-time guys are going to make more money in NIL. And by the way, that's America, Jack. That's what capitalism is, whether you like it or not.
I like the way you use Jack. I like to say Jack a lot at the end of sentences when I'm really, really trying to emphasize what I'm saying. I will use Jack because I feel like it wakes everybody up. Like, do you feel what I'm saying, Jack? So nice job, George. I like the way you used it. You want to go to the phones? There's a lot of people here.
Yeah, a lot of people on hold that want to talk about this LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with, hold on, who was first here? All right, so we got to go to Kathy first. Kathy was the first person in Redondo. Kathy, it's been so long since we chatted with you.
I know. You guys have really been something else the last couple of days, all of you. I've been on all your shows. Of course, I usually keep the radio on all night long anyway.
Well, Kathy, are you using the app now? Have you downloaded the
ESPN
LA app?
No, I'm not that smart. I'm not as smart as you.
Well,
no.
Now listen,
I don't
hold
use
on.
Apps, computers, cell phones. I'm landline and
snail mail.
Radio. I'm old school.
Kathy, what was happy hour like today?
Happy hour is good as always. Happy is always happy.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen,
but I'm saying, what was on the menu for happy hour today?
I'm guessing Chardonnay.
No. It was pizza from across the street at Giorgio's, and then we had brandy.
Oh, brandy.
Oh, there you
brandy.
Go. That's the good stuff right there. Pizza and brandy.
Yeah, brandy and a glass of wine.
It's like a piece
Listen,
of pizza.
Listen, LeBron. Scott, for what it's worth, I heard the same interview from him that you were talking about him wanting to go play with Seth, and he never spoke more from the heart, and it's true. But neither here nor there. LeBron's not 80. I mean, when I was his age, I got another 15, 20 more years of work. He's got it in him to do it, but here's what I'd like to see
He can't play for 15 or 20 more years.
No, George, he can. No, George, at 53 years old.
He can do a few more years, and he can do, like, get into coaching like many of them do.
He will lead the league in scoring at 53 years old.
This is what I'd like to see done.
Go ahead.
You know who I'd like to get his picks?
Who?
Marcus Smart, the Joker, and Tyler Hero.
Well, wait, but you can't trade LeBron to three different teams. You can't, like, split
no,
him.
You
can't, like, clone him.
You guys already traded Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but you can't get, like, so what, you want to trade Russell Westbrook for those three guys? Nobody's
trading. I don't want to trade Russell Westbrook at all. I never did.
Oh, tell him, Kath.
Believe me, nobody's heart's more broken on that than John Irland's and myself. But we got to deal with the reality.
Yeah,
and that's
I mean,
reality.
Listen, but you just named the defensive player of the year, the guy who was the reigning MVP, and the guy who's the sixth man of the year. Like, how are you planning on getting those guys?
Well, if you guys are going to get rid of LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, look, AD, I know Magic said that Rob Pelinka's not ready to fire the first shot, but I am because I know injuries and foot. Oh. And since he's already only played half the year, he's only good for a few more injuries than that foot shot. I don't know about the rest of you, but when he got up and told everybody, oh, yeah, I talked to my doctor, and he was all like, said, oh, I can't do anything more to it. Oh, please. AD, tell it to somebody else, bro. There's no doctor there. Not at those doctors. I used to go to Litton Williams there at Hell South. I mean, Earl and Job. He would have left. You know, no doctor's going to tell you that because you can turn around the next breath and stop on and tear another Achilles heel on the other foot.
Well, Kathy, what? we got to run because we got a lot of people that we have to get to, but we always love chatting with you, and hope the brandy and pizza is still rocking the rest
more.
Of the evening.
All right, much love, Kathy. Much love. All right, listen, in the meantime, Kathy, I want to tell you something. You are smart, just so you know, Yeah. And it's really simple. All you have to do for this ESPN LA app is you search it, you download it, you listen to it. It's in the App Store. It's in the Google Play Store. I have all my daughters all downloading the app, and then I got them to get all their friends to download the app. I mean, I'm getting the world individually as a one-man ambassador wrecking crew. I'm getting the entire world to download this app, George.
Let me grab Raul in L.A., who hopefully has downloaded the app. Raul, have you downloaded the app?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
it's
great.
Amazing. Believe me when I tell you that. What is this blasphemy that Cap and Stephen A. are talking about? Trade LeBron? Are you kidding me? Really? Who would you trade for?
Honestly, Cap. Who would you trade him for? Who would you trade him for, Cap?
Now, hold on a second, Raul.
Come on. There's only three teams that LeBron could actually, you could actually trade LeBron for tip for tap, but you know, well, they're not getting rid of those players. You know, if I want to call Milwaukee and say, hey, we'll trade Giannis for LeBron, that's
no
not
chance.
Happening.
Not up.
And he's got three more years, championship years left in him left. You know, come on, let's build it. Let's get him the second ring. Why not?
Now, wait a second. Hold on, Raul. Hold on a second here. Why are you putting this on me, dog?
Technically, you were the ambassador for also getting rid of – you were on the LeBron, getting rid of LeBron train.
But wait a second. Mason. Wait a second. I'm the guy, just to be clear here, I'm the guy that understands the mindset of a true champion, of
Thank
a Hall of Famer, of someone who has passion in their heart to prove the world wrong. I'm the guy that's been saying LeBron, AD, and Russ played 21 games together. If I'm LeBron, I want to give it a chance to go 60 games. And let's see what happens. So I'm not just for keeping LeBron. I'm for keeping Russ as well. Just want to be on the record.
All right.
Want to set the record straight, George.
All right. We're going to take more calls on this after Radio Tinder. Hit us up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also at 540, we got some stuff when it comes to the Dodgers that we got to get into today as well, man. Like, there's something going on with Julio Urias, and we'll talk about that after Radio Tinder as well as more of your calls. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so on Tuesday, which is yesterday, rapper Drake embarrassed a heckler on Instagram after making a not-so-funny joke about his alleged use of a ghostwriter. So it all started when Drake left a comment on a post regarding NBA superstar Ja Morant's father cheering on his son at every game. There was a back and forth, I won't get into all the nitty-gritty of it, but it resulted in Drake saying to this troll, "I just followed your girl because she's prob-miserable and needs some excitement in her life. I'm here for you, Ma." It was a very funny exchange because the girl was like, now Drake thinks that I need some excitement in my life. Look what you did, like to her boyfriend. Are you guys okay with this troll job by Drake? Sliding into, you know, the girl's DMs, swipe left or swipe right?
I'm not into that. You know what I mean?
So you're swiping left.
Yeah, I'm swiping left. You know, I'm here for your mom. He wrote, I'm here for your mom. I don't love it personally. I like Drake a lot, but I'm not feeling this one. Go ahead, Cap. Do your thing. Do your thing.
My Hebraic Canadian brother, Drake. I like what you did here. I'm gonna swipe right. I'm gonna swipe right here on this one, because while it's insanely disrespectful what Drake did, that's what he was trying to do. Because he got disrespected. So he said, okay, watch this. I'm going to talk to your wife. I'm going to tell her that Drake, a big superstar like me, is interested in her. I'm here for you, mama. And so the goal was to humiliate. The goal was to be nasty and mean-spirited. It's kind of like Clubber Lang and Rocky.
But wait, it wasn't that mean. I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
Like, you know, I thought it's a funny way, because you see celebrities when they, you know, like KD and whoever, when they get back at these trolls online. I thought it was a funny way to be like tweet at her, and then she DMs them. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny.
I just feel like Clubber Lang is like, look at me. Hey, woman. You'll find out what a real man is, woman. Right? And that's Drake. That's what Drake is doing right
Why
there.
Why sound like Mr. T?
Because that was Mr. T.
Because that's what he's doing. He's doing Mr. T from
Clubber
Rocky
Lang.
III.
Right. I'm going to show you what a real man all about, woman. That's what Clubber Lang said.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. But the I don't love it. Like, I feel like that's beneath Drake. You know,
but
I mean,
is it's. It?
But look, I do like it from this regard, right? That it shows trolls, hey man, be careful. Somebody will clap back at you occasionally,
well, right?
You know?
Because in Drake's case, that's his version of Mike Tyson going over the seat in the airplane and hitting you 8 times in the head. Drake's just going to disrespect you by taking your woman.
Man, all the crap people get on social media, like the celebrities, like, you know, Cardi B talking about how she hates being famous. You're like, good for Drake, you know? Once in a while, you can hit him back. All right, so next one. So NASA scientists plan to launch pictures of naked humans into space with the hope of luring aliens to us. So the depictions will also include an invitation to respond if an intelligent alien actually finds the space nudes. The pictures aren't graphic photographs of naked humans, but a drawing of a naked man and a woman next to a depiction of DNA. Very interesting choice of, you know, what they're considering this lure of nude photos. NASA scientists revealed that the image in a study that's part of a project called the Beacon in the Galaxy, the main aim of it is to send a message to alien civilizations that could be out there. Mm-hmm. So do you guys think that sending nudes into space is going to attract alien life to Earth? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
A swipe left here for a few reasons, but I'll outline them. Number one, drawings of naked humans not as good as pictures of real naked humans. That's one. Two, you have to get the right naked humans, okay? If you get really, really like the top of the line, the most attractive people on planet Earth butt naked, maybe you have a chance of luring aliens to Earth. But the big problem here, as I see it, is this. I don't find aliens to be attractive. And I think they're all naked anyway.
Wait, what? You don't find aliens to be attractive?
Correct. I'm not attracted to aliens.
How do you know? Like, what do you know what an alien looks like?
Yeah.
Well, every alien I've ever seen, at least a depiction of an alien, I'm not attracted to them. Like, did you think E.T. was hot? I didn't. Okay, so here's my point.
Wait, but, I mean, there's a lot of aliens that look like humans, too.
Like, which ones?
The guy in The Matrix, right?
Right.
Wasn't he an alien?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, I didn't know that. You just spoiled the movie for me.
Baby Yoda, he's a cute little guy.
Well, all I'm saying is this. You know what the problem here is, though? Is that aliens may not be attracted to humans.
That's fair.
And therein lies the issue.
But okay. If they're going to be attracted to the alien or the humans next to the depiction of DNA. That was the weird part to me. See, I visualize like a Michelangelo on the ceiling type paintings, you know, like beautiful humans.
Don't some of the aliens on Star Trek look attractive?
Like who?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's some good looking aliens in Star Trek.
There's some.
I mean, Captain Kirk used to. I mean, listen, he was he was the first interracial kiss on television in American history. Him and Uhura, I believe, if I recall correctly.
Was that the green woman?
No, she was the African-American woman who was the.
He wasn't making out with an alien.
He eventually made out. Well, I was going to be. I mean, did you really have to ruin my damn thing by saying
what
the thing
ruined?
That I was going to say?
What I ruined?
Nothing, Cap. Yes, he used to sleep with green women, blue women, every woman. Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
he, that. Captain Kirk, found these aliens to be attractive.
Yes.
How about Avatar? They're attractive, right? Somewhat.
I don't know. Are they? Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so next one, moving on there, because the Sedano sigh sometimes
the Sedano sigh
you have
that. The Sedano
premature speculation, basically. That's you. God.
All right, so last one here. Judge Greg Mathis received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. It honored 23 years of presiding over the courtroom program that he's on. Mathis's show, Judge Mathis, has been nominated for 4 Daytime Emmys for Outstanding Legal/Courtroom Program. The show finally won one back in 2018. So, Funch and I were talking about this before the show. Is Judge Mathis really a Hollywood Walk of Fame star guy? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Hollywood Walk of Fame guy. Did he get one, or are you asking me he deserves one?
Yeah, like, do you think he deserves one? I was trying to be nice about it, but do you think he's really, like, does he deserve it? Is he worthy of it?
Well, I mean, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I mean, you only have to have some modicum of fame because you got to put up the 10 grand to get the star. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yes, there are many people who are there because they're super duper duper famous, but part of it is the money too. Like,
so is that all it costs is 10 grand?
Well, it used to. I don't know if it's still the same case, but like, I know that that was the number. So like, if we crowdsource 10 grand, we could put, we could at least, well, we'd have, we wouldn't guarantee that Cap would be on there, but we could submit it.
I would love to
see if it gets approved.
I would absolutely love to be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
So I think,
but you'd have to get approved still. Like, yeah, there's still an approval process. So just because you put the 10 grand doesn't mean that you get it.
Who do I need to talk to? Put me in touch with them.
What qualifies somebody to be worthy of that though? Because I feel like there's a lot of people that have 10 grand. You know, it has to be way more than that now. Like,
no, there's an approval process, obviously.
Yeah.
In the meantime, this guy's show has been on TV for how long?
So,
I mean,
here's the process, by the way. The nomination procedure. Here it is. Okay. It is, let me see. The committee will select approximately 30 names for insertion into the Walk. Nomination of individual group or must be approved by the Walk of Fame committee. But fans can make submissions as long as enough they get enough nominations. Right, there has to be a prerequisite amount of nominations, and then and then there's the money, and then there's the committee and all that stuff. Yeah, like all that stuff is part
of
the process.
But don't you guys think that there should be like a level of celebrityism that you should get a star?
Oh, automatically, yeah, for sure.
I mean, because I think like recently DJ Khaled got one. Like, I don't think DJ Khaled is worthy of a star on the Walk of
Fame. DJ Khaled?
Yeah, whatever.
DJ Khaled or DJ Khaled? Because DJ Khaled.
Definitely not DJ Khaled. No. DJ Khaled, maybe. Yeah,
DJ Khaled, yeah. We the best music.
I mean, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Who's more famous, DJ Khaled or Jim Gray?
Wait a
DJ
second. This,
Khaled,
wait a
probably.
Second. You had to think about this for a second, Funchy?
I did.
Really? You had to think that Jim Gray is as famous as DJ
man,
Khaled?
Hey, man, he did the decision.
Yeah, that is true. He did do the decision.
Claim to fame, yes. Yeah.
But Jim Gray has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Jim Gray doesn't say we the best music.
Well, Marilyn Monroe also has a star in Walk of Fame, too, but I don't think
another
on,
one.
You know, she's on the same level as Jim Gray or DJ Khaled.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Why like, DJ Khaled is like a legit superstar artist performer.
Why will you not say DJ Khaled? Why are you calling him DJ Khaled?
I don't know.
The deal? You got a problem with DJ Khaled?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Oh, by the way, Lindsay, it's not 10 grand. It's 50 grand now.
Wow, 50 large.
I was going to say, for 10 grand, Steve Mason would have applied by now. Maybe he has.
Wow. Shots
just,
fired.
No, I'm not saying it's a shot. Like, Mace always talks about how, like, he wants a star on the Hollywood Walk of
Who
Fame.
Else? I got another one here. Andy Cohen just recently got one.
Yeah.
Is he worthy to get a star?
Andy Cohen's, like, extremely, extremely famous.
Okay. Yes.
Well, am I gonna
super
remember,
famous,
am I,
and by the way, has produced a bazillion TV shows.
Okay,
that are
so
on TV
a family from Kansas walks on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 30 years. Are they going to remember who he is? Or
well, I mean, they're going to say, Jim Gray the Bravo guy, the guy who made Bravo matter. Because when I was a kid growing up, you know what Bravo was? I don't even know. How about that?
Yeah. Well, how about this judge again? Back to Judge Mathis
judge
for a
Mathis.
Minute.
Judge Mathis. That's why, like, I don't even know what he looks like.
I don't watch the judge shows, so I'm not a judge person.
I have
like,
no
if it's
clue who he is.
Like Judge Judy for sure, but outside of that, and maybe like Judge Wapner.
Old school.
And then who was the other people's court lady that was after Wapner? The
Judge
redhead.
Judy? Judge
no, the redhead.
Ooh. Oh,
I only know Wapner from.
She was on after Wapner for a long time. Maybe her too, and Judy for sure, and Wapner. And then that's kind of it for me.
And by the way, throw in Doug Llewellyn, the guy who used to be the interviewer in the original Judge Wapner show. Doug Llewellyn should have one on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. By the way, those people in Kansas City that you described, when they come out to Hollywood and they're out here sightseeing, when they see Judge Mathis, they're like, hey, Judge Mathis, we watch him all the time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely right.
It's probably where they watch Judge Mathis.
I mean, Alvin and the Chipmunks have a star. I think that they're pretty famous. I think
so. Yeah, you got to get nominated, and then you got to get selected by the committee, and then you also got to put up the 50 grand, or somebody's got to put up the 50 grand for you.
Who's going to put up the 50 grand for me? I don't have
grand,
it.
There has
definitely
to be
not for you. 50's too much. If it was 10, we could have
we 10,
maybe
we could crowdsource it, but 50's too much.
Here's another guy. Here's another. Guy Fieri has one.
Guy
Fieri's super famous.
He deserves one. I think
Guy Fieri's ridiculously famous.
I mean, Funchy, you literally turn on the Food Network on the weekends, and it's like Guy Fieri on marathon.
You guys got me there.
Dude, there's a diner, drive-in, and dive, like, marathon, like 8 hours straight in 30-minute intervals. Telling you right now, you could sit there and get caught up in it all day long.
Yeah, I love diners, drive-ins.
So do I.
Yeah. So, all right. There you go. That is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30. All right, coming up next, do the Dodgers not trust Julio Urias? Let's get into that a little bit. More of your calls on the LeBron stuff. Stephen A. saying Lakers should trade LeBron because it's best for both parties. We'll get into all that stuff. Radio Tinder is presented by our sponsor, our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and do what I do, demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. We're back in 2 minutes. Oh, man. Would you comfort me? Come on, Cap.
I'm very consumed right now with one of our listeners who tells me that he wants to fight me today.
Okay, who's that?
This is Peter, H-S-I-A, Peter Hissia.
Yeah.
He says, hey,
he
Sedona.
He wants to jump through the radio and fight you, Scott Kaplan, because you're extra annoying today.
Extra annoying. Now,
because he says, who doesn't know the Superman theme when I was doing it as Chewbacca?
Yeah, see, I didn't hear it. So, Peter, I mean, I'll say good ears to you, but you don't want this smoke. You just don't want this. And I'm not tough, believe me. I'm like a total wimp. I just wanted to say that you don't want this smoke. It just sounds cool to say.
Doesn't it sound cool?
Like, don't you sound like a bad dude? You're like, you don't want this smoke. And then people start thinking to themselves, maybe I don't want this smoke.
Yeah.
I said that to another dog owner today when it was early in the morning. And
wait, what?
My dog and like, she had a little dog. My dog's kind of little. And they were like, early in the morning, just woke up out of bed, lunging at each other. And I was like, oh, no, he doesn't want that smoke.
Oh, okay. That's funny. I thought you meant it in a way where you were being serious.
It was a friendly.
The dog didn't want the smoke from the other dog.
Chewie did not want the smoke from Loki. Nope.
Oh, God.
Loki's a fun name for a dog, too.
Mm-hmm. It's a cute dog.
It must be a mischievous dog, though.
Yeah, he's a little pug.
Yeah.
He don't want that smoke, though.
Nope. Not from Chewie.
Again, it does sound cool when you say it. You know, hey, man, you don't want this smoke. And then the other guy's like, I don't know if I do. I mean, I think I did. But now that he's saying I don't, maybe I don't. Maybe he's right. Maybe on May the 4th, may the 4th be with you. Maybe that's a Jedi mind trick. You know?
Perhaps.
You don't want this smoke.
Yeah. Do you want it?
I mean, I thought I did, but now I don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those deals.
You're not going to fight the listener?
No, I'm not going to fight him. I'm not tough enough.
I did like his tweet, though. I thought it was funny.
He tweeted his girlfriend?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Like Drake.
Tweeted his girlfriend.
You think I'm going to slide into his girlfriend's DMs? Be like, yo, girl, I'm here for you. Just like Drake is here for that girl, I'm here for you.
Hey, just a thought.
I'm here for you, Ma.
Yeah, Ma.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of creepy to me because that's what I call my Ma. Ma.
Ma.
Yeah. Hey, Ma.
The meatloaf.
Yeah. Hey, Ma, what's going on, Ma?
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that Dylan Hernandez today in the LA Times says he doesn't believe the Dodgers trust Julio Urias. And because they took him out after 65 pitches yesterday. And now, when you watch the game, or even if you didn't watch the game, obviously nowadays you can watch it so easy on the internet. They'll MLB Network has this show where they do just in 3 minutes, they'll let you watch the game.
Right.
But you can also do it on YouTube in 10 minutes. It's more thorough or whatever. And then there's the Spectrum has a show that they do it in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch these games, right, whether you watch the whole thing or you watch an abbreviated version of it, I don't know about you, but there's been a couple of outings, including yesterday, where Julio Urias, as the game has gone on, his velocity has gone down in a big, big way. And the ball's being hit a little harder. Yes, they're outs, but the contact is different later in the game than it was early. Now, that should be normal, but for someone that young, who has been generally a fireballer during his career, and look, he's not just that. He's got multiple pitches that are fantastic. But it's now a couple of outings this year where I've noticed that, later in the game, it's not the same stuff. So I don't know if it's not that they don't trust him. I think they're just doing what's in the best interest of the team. I like Dylan's writing, but I don't think I agree with him on this one.
So, look, I think that the Dodgers, and listen, I know everybody's already going to say it. Just go ahead. You guys can say it. I'm in Dave Roberts' back pocket, so I'm going to defend Dave Roberts. Yes and yes, probably, is the best way I can say that. Look, you go into a game with a game plan of how much you want to see out of a pitcher. Hey, if he can get us through six innings, great. That's all we really want from him is get us through six innings. The reason you look at Urias' performance last night and you go, well, why didn't they send him out there for the seventh inning? The guy's cruising. Guy gave up four hits, had four strikeouts, didn't give up any runs, didn't walk anybody. He's on cruise control. Why are you taking him out of this game? especially when he's only got 65 total pitches, of which 52 were strikes. That sounded real numbery, didn't it? That sounded like
it
I
did.
Really
that
knew
was
him.
Good. That was a good description, that, by
that's
the way.
That kind of sounded like I knew what I was talking about. So.
And very efficient, which is rare for you.
Yeah. And so, to me, you've gotten your starter through six. You're ready to hand this thing off to your bullpen. And by the way, they won the game last night 3-1. What's the big gripe? What is the gripe?
I think what happens is, like, you know, with pitchers in particular, I think people get enamored by, like, with him. I feel like people feel with him, with Urias, that there's not, like, they haven't let him flourish the way he should flourish, is the general feeling I get from just reading people after the game.
Well,
whether it's on social media, whether it's media people. And I don't know. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think it's just done on a case-by-case basis. And he, you know, later in that game, they were starting to hit the ball hard. Now, it didn't necessarily find grass, but, you know, that's – look, people get mad with Dave Roberts because he manages by the numbers. And, you know, or they claim he does all the time. And then when he manages by gut because he sees the guy all of a sudden, hey, they're tagging him a little bit, even though it may not be finding the grass, like, you know, they get on him for that too. So, again, to your point, Dave Roberts can't win.
Well, look, again, I think there's an intimation in there somewhere that Walker Buehler can tell Dave Roberts, I'm not coming out of this game. I mean, I've gone through eight. I want to finish this off. This is going to be my opportunity to get my first complete game shutout in my career. I'm not giving up the ball. I'm going back in. And so there seems to be some intimation of, well, the rules are different for Walker Buehler than they are for Julio Urias. And maybe they are. Maybe they just are different. You know, one guy is your ace and one guy is your number three starter, number two starter. And maybe they are trying to protect a guy. Maybe they do have these numbers. In fact, not maybe. I'm quite certain they have these numbers sitting in front of them going, you know what? We're starting to see his velocity fade a little bit. Balls are starting to be hit harder. Granted, they're going right to people, but eventually they're going to get through. I don't know. There seems to be some undertone to the criticism, at least the way you're describing it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that sometimes there could be a potential divide on, you know, because of a communication gap, right? Julio doesn't, you know, English isn't his first language, so perhaps there could be some miscommunication there at times. You know, and or he doesn't feel comfortable voicing his opinion. I know plenty of guys who've grown up in that sport and who don't, English isn't their first language, and they've had trouble kind of conveying their message, right, to their managers or even their teammates. Like, that's not an unnormal thing. But, I mean, so I'm not dismissing that summarily, but I don't think yesterday was the moment to make that the cause. Like, yeah, like, his velocity was coming down. Like, you can go back and look that up. All of a sudden, there was more wood on the bat. I'm on the ball, pardon me. Like, you can go back and watch that. I don't know if yesterday was the moment to have that conversation. I'm not saying it's not a valid conversation. I'm just saying I don't know if yesterday was that time to have it.
Hey, by the way, your idea or your thought on Spanish speaking, or any pitcher for that matter who doesn't speak English.
Oh, right. There could be the same thing for the Asian players, well, by the way. Right, exactly.
Right. But here's the other thing. There's nobody in the Dodger infield when they bring a conference together on the pitcher's mound. There's nobody to do any sort of interpretation from English to Spanish. You know, there is nobody in that infield that goes, hold on, Skip, let me just tell them what you're talking about here, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the infield, you know, you don't have a Spanish-speaking Latino player to even have that interpretive conversation.
Right.
So maybe there's something to it. I mean, maybe there is something to Urias not being able to feel comfortable yet. Because, hey, by the way, he's still kind of a young guy. This is,
yes,
what, 3 years now? You know?
He's been around a little longer, but there was injuries and stuff. Like, I mean, you know, whatever. But, like, yeah, I mean, he has been, like, I believe this is technically, like, year, like, six or seven.
Yeah, no, right. His first year in the major leagues, or at least first year with the Dodgers, it was 2016.
He pitched a bunch, but then there was a bunch of injuries, yeah, and whatever. And yeah,
17,
so like,
and 18,
I mean, he's actually, this is actually only like year five, in even though he's been around like six or seven.
Yeah, no, 19 he had a bunch of, you know, he was in about 30, performed in 37 games. But remember also, hey, one other thing we should at least mention in this conversation is he didn't start as a starter. You know, I mean,
no, right, right. He came in through the bullpen.
Right,
yeah,
so that's another thought.
Well, no, that's the first year he started a lot, and then after that, after the injury, they used him out of the bullpen.
Right, so maybe that's a thought process, which is, hey, we got to keep this guy in a pitch count, or we got to keep him on an innings count. If he gets us through six,
I just think that I trust the people that are around him more every day than us, is what I would say.
Or than Dylan Hernandez in this instance.
Well, us too, though. Like, not just Dylan Hernandez, like anybody, for that matter, you know? All right, we got to take a quick break. Coming up next, Ireland and Travis absolutely brawled, according to Cap. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. You'll have to listen in to find out. We'll have that for you and why they brawled next.